Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
This is W4RKU. Is there someone who can run or is willing to run tonight's night?
This is KO4VNZ listening.
This is W4RKU. It looks like we're not going to have it tonight. Apologies, schedule operator couldn't make it, and we couldn't find someone to do it at the last minute. So, 73CR, W4RKU.
W4KRU, this is KO4VNZ. Thanks for the update. If I had access to my laptop and all, I might consider trying to do it. But I have no way of logging anything, or I'm not even sure of what menu to use or what tones to send to activate the repeater. Over.
Oh, that's all right, Chuck. It's hard to get arranged last minute for the net, you know, the scripts and everything, and NetLogger. If you're not set up for it, it's too late. So, but thank you for offering, maybe we can get Sippy or someone else to get you trained up on the NetOp side of things. So, anyway, that's all I have. Thank you for at least offering.
Roger, Stephen. I'm willing to take whatever training and if I can get the NetLogger up somewhere, then I'm more than willing to give it a try. Until the next network or we have our next meeting, 73, this is KO4, VNZ clear.
All right, Chuck, sounds good. KO4, VNZ, W4RKU, clear.
4RKU, KGPI. You want to run the net? I didn't realize there was nobody around. I can run the script from here. It's probably late, though.
Well, you can hang Harv. Harv would definitely appreciate it if you could, but it is kind of late. I don't know if anybody's given up yet or not.
Go ahead and I'll start the net a little bit late. We'll see if there's any check-ins. I don't really have anything prepared here, so it's going to be completely off the cuff other than the fact that I wrote the script, so I still have it. We'll see how things go. So at least we don't have a night without a net.
I appreciate that very much. And yes, indeed, you did write the script. So I will stand by and wait for you to start it. Just W4RKU.
This is KTPI about to initiate the Wednesday Farah service net. Is there anyone with emergency traffic before I take over the repeater? Nothing heard, thank you. QST, 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 this is KTPI activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held weekly on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. The repeater is operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a 167.9 Hz subaudible tone for access. The purpose of this net is twofold. First, the net serves as a demonstration of the practice, procedure, and discipline of amateur radio on-the-air voice protocol and net operations. These skills are vitally important in the event of crisis communications, and it is the intent of Farah to build or refresh these skills through its nets. Second purpose is to serve as an informal gathering of Farah members and other interested amateurs whereby they can engage in information sharing in between our regular monthly club meetings and club breakfasts. This is a directed net. In the first phase of this net, the net control operator will pass information in a general broadcast to all listening amateurs. During this period, the net control will also offer a topic for comment. The topic is intended as a conversation starter within the net itself and to reinforce the ability of participating amateurs, many of whom may be new to the hobby, to join an on-the-air conversation with comments of substance. The broadcast phase of the net, net control will invite check-ins. Each amateur wishing to join the net should transmit and say their entire call distinctly and only once. Standard phonetics are encouraged. Net control will acknowledge each station in turn, and may invite repeats as needed. Once all participants have checked in, NetControl will call each station and invite them to transmit. Each amateur called will then provide up to 90 seconds of comments on their activities related to the hobby and offer a comment on the topic of interest. At the conclusion of their comment, the station will ID and pass the repeater back to NetControl. Break. This is KTPI. My name is Harv, H-A-R-V, and I'm located in Warrenton, Virginia, near the repeater. This is a QST to all amateurs. For this week's net, the topic of interest is digital VHF radio. Wondering if anyone else out there has operated DMR, P25, D-Star, or any of the other digital modes. Been playing around a little bit with DMR myself. It's quite intriguing. It's sort of ham radio augmented by the internet. And I kind of find that there's an awful lot of activity out there, but most of the radio protocol is still the same. Interested in hearing from others who may have had some experience with digital VHF radio or even digital HF radio, although I know that there's a D-Star net and a couple of different digital voice protocols in use on HF. So would love to hear from other amateurs. I'd also love to hear about what you've been doing this week in regards to amateur radio and any contacts you've made. And, of course, I'm sure we'll hear lots of propagation reports on 6 meters. Please consider commenting on these topics when called by NetControl. Sorry we started a little late this week, and I have no amateur radio news prepared, but it sure seems like the sunspot numbers are way up. Things are looking pretty good. I think we're at 98, which is quite a departure from maybe a year ago when the sunspot number was 30. Propagation is getting better and better. I'm hearing there were lots of European and including some African stations on 6 meters and 10 meters this week. So it appears that things are getting a lot better. This is KTPI, and that concludes our QST. This time, NetControl invites check-ins from amateurs wishing to participate in the net. Please state your call sign once and listen for acknowledgement by NetControl. Each net participant will be called in the order recognized by NetControl. Stations wishing to check into the net, please call now.
K1HTV. W4RKU.
Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey, Yankee X-Ray.
Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot Romeo.
Kilo November 4. Sierra, Papa Lima, in and out.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor 4, Victor November Zulu, in and out.
Good. Net recognizes K1HTV, W4RKU, KO4WYX, K3FR, KN4SBL, in and out, WB7RAV, and I believe it was KO4VNZ, although you got stepped on, in and out. Are there any further check-ins?
KN4MLX, in and out.
Whiskey 8, Bravo Tango.
KQ4, AUA, in and out.
Kilo November 4, Quebec X-ray Delta, in and out.
Good. Net recognizes KN4MLX, in and out. W8BT, KQ4AUA, in and out. And KN4QXB, in and out. Are there any further check-ins for the net this evening? This is KTPI. Please call now.
Kilo Charlie 1, Mike Kilo Lima, in and out.
KJ7 APV.
Good. Kilo Charlie 1, Mike Kilo Lima, in and out, and KJ7 APV. One last call for check-ins for this round from K2PI. Please call now.
November 4, X-ray, Charlie Hotel, in and out.
November 4, X-ray, Charlie Hotel, in and out. Thank you for the check-in. And a good group tonight, even though we started late. I'll go ahead and lead off with K1HTV. Rich, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Harv, K2PI in the net from K1HTV. Thank you very much for coming forward and volunteering to do the net, to head the net. You read that script so well, almost like you even wrote it. But, you know, you did write it, and you do a great job as net control. This past week, let's see, Saturday, a number of hams are over here. Andy, K1RA, Terry, WHZN, and also... Travis, W8BT, for the purpose of trying to figure out why the tower is binding in the southwest position, the rotating tower, with the help of KM4OZH's four-loaned threaded rods, three-quarter-inch rods, we're able to raise the tower about 2 inches and look into the, try to figure out what was happening inside the bearing, this $500-plus bearing that supports the weight of the tower. Could not initially did not take the bearing out. Moved, was able to move it around. Travis moved it around, moved it about 90 degrees counterclockwise, and then we put it back down. The tower bearing was greased. Everything seemed to be moving at full 360 degrees most of the day, but by afternoon, or by early afternoon, the dam was open to Hawaii, or two Hawaiian stations on 6 meters, and a number of other West Coast stations. And it swung the beam towards Brazil, where a couple of Brazilians with the beam southeast, and it stuck there, and it was not able to move it without going out there with a long pipe, and giving a power assist as they remotely started the tower to rotate counterclockwise to get it out of that locked position. So apparently when Travis moved the bearing 90 degrees, the bad spot moved 90 degrees. It's thought by Gill that there may be something under the bearing, the flat bearing, and maybe Travis can explain a little bit more, but there may be something that's raising it up underneath, either stuck to the bearing or in the bottom part of the race, so in the bottom part of the cup that holds the bearing. Right now, not rotating to the southeast, there's not very much activity in that direction. Today, the 6-meter band was open almost all day to Europe. Excuse me, it started about 7 o'clock, before 7 o'clock, with stations from Germany coming through, and I had to leave the house to head into town about 10:30, but before then, I heard a number of stations, two stations in Russia, got a flag, a PSK reported flag from Albania, worked a number of Western Europe stations, a couple Eastern Europe stations, and then in the afternoon when I got back to home, about 1:30 or so, the band was open again, maybe it was continuously open, continued working stations, and it opened to Scandinavia for a good part of the afternoon. When the day was over, still not over, but as of now, I've heard 42 different countries and worked 20 of them on 6 meters. It was a credit DX day. That's about it. Back to you, Harv, K2PI from K1HTV.
It's K1HTV and the net from K2PI. Well, good luck with that tower. I don't know what that could be. Sounds like you had a good brain trust there working on it. All I can think of is if it's loose in the morning and stiff in the afternoon, maybe there's some heat expansion going on and something's rubbing. But it's just a guess. I'm sure you've already probably ruled all of that out, but hopefully you'll fix that soon. Realize that any time you have to lift a rotating tower up, you're running an engineering disaster or a potential engineering disaster. So careful with that. Anyway, thanks for the report. And thanks for the propagation information. 6 meters has been open. I hear lots from my friends about that as well. W4RKU, Kevin, your comments for the net from K2PI.
K2PI, W4RKU. Good evening, Harv, and it is nice to hear your voice doing the net. It's been a long time. And appreciate it again for you picking it up for everyone. As for your topic, I played around with DMR a number of years ago. I bought an ID51A or whatever, and ICOM ID51, and I messed around with D-Star, and I had a DV dongle for a while, and I think it's just because I'm not much of a voice operator to begin with. I'm not a rag chewer. I just didn't get enthralled with it. I play around a lot with it. I know it's grown probably a multitude since it first came out, but just not my bag. And regarding propagation, I think you will appreciate this. Today, during the 1900 CWT, I made 63 contacts, all S&P. I have never had such, it was just like bang, 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 bang. So that was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed everything was just right today. So that was a lot of fun. I'm going to have to talk at tonight, so I'll turn it back over to you. K2PI, W4RKU, back to net.
And thanks, Kevin, W4RKU, and the net from K2PI. Well, congratulations on your attainment there in the CWTs. I missed the CWTs today. I was doing chores, and I completely forgot that it was Wednesday. didn't get on any of them. I know there's one later on tonight, but I usually don't operate that one. So glad to hear you. You had a great time. They're speedy folks in those CWTs. I encourage a lot of people to get on there and operate in them. But no one likes to slow down, I notice. And for those who don't have, or just starting out in CW, it's pretty intimidating. So 53 is quite an accomplishment, and good for you. KO4YWX, I think your name is Matt, from K2PI. Your comments for the net, please.
This is KO4WYX. As far as net topics, digital modes, in the amateur world, I have no experience. I haven't played with anything yet. In my professional world, P25. I'm old enough and been playing radio to get paid to play radio long enough. I recall the switch over from, you know, traditional analog, you know, public safety nets to the P25 world and all the improvements that we saw there with voice quality and distance of transmission and all that. So I'm familiar with that. It was great. What have I been doing in the amateur world this past week? Playing with HF, and the big thing I've been playing with a lot is Vara AC. Is a text application, you know, a data application over HF. And I've made a handful of contacts throughout the country on that already. And I'm really enjoying it. It's pretty cool. Kind of a capability that I wanted to get into when I got into ham radio. So I've been successful with that. And I also have been participating in the WinLink Wednesdays. That's been a fun little exercise to use WinLink. And that's kind of the areas I've been playing in. That's all I got for you guys. K2PI, KO4WYX, back to net.
Before I let you go, can you give us a little a couple more groups on this VARA mode? I think I've heard of it or saw something in QST, but I'm sure a lot of us are completely inexperienced in it. We'd love to know more.
Yeah, sure. I don't know a lot. So basically, it's like a texting application over HF. It uses a KNC called VARA HF. There's a couple different flavors of it out there: VARA FM, VARA Chat. And you get on a net and you establish a communication between you and another person. It's like WinLink, only it's live. And you establish a 2500 baud at the fast rate link between you and another station. You just chat back and forth. It's not like FT8 or FT4 where you have preloaded messages. It's literally a conversation that you're having using VARA. AC. I think it's worth looking into if you like that kind of stuff. It's not that hard once you get up and running. I'm pretty sure if anyone's done any data modes over HF, it'd be pretty easy. It's starting to catch on over the past few months, I believe.
Very much. KO4WYX from K2PI. And the net, thank you very much for the extra information. While I was listening to you, I took the opportunity to take a look on the net here. So VARA is at varac-hamradio.com. That's Victor Alpha Radio Alpha Charlie-hamradio.com. Lots of information there. I'm going to take a look at that after the net is over, but looks like lots of people extol the virtues of VARA as being an incredibly speedy HF mode. So might be a lot of fun. I'm going to check it out myself, and thanks for that information. K3FR, Ron, your comments for the net from K2PI.
Good evening, Harvin. The net, this is Ron, K3FR, and thank you for taking the net tonight, Harp. Well, no, I have no digital experience. I have listened around a little bit to one of the BRM repeaters, but I haven't even established a check-in. I should say an account on one of the repeaters, so I'm not even able to get on and do much in terms of contacting with the D-Star. Let's see. As far as what I've been doing this week is chasing the 13 colonies. I'm still chasing the French station. Got everything else. I had the colonies themselves. I had the clean sweep rolled up on, I think, the 4th. Maybe it was the 3rd. And I had only started on the 2nd. And then just picked up the British and the William Penn station pretty quickly. I was watching what was going on 6 meters this afternoon. Yeah, some nice solid openings into Northern Europe. Of course, with my limited antenna situation here, I heard very little, if anything, on the DX side. It was just from watching Rich and all the rest of the guys working the stations. As I was making my report to John Jones and Joe JK for the VHF, I should say World Above 50 column, I've been doing pretty much, I've been writing the column, but I have been writing a letter every month to John. I went back and looked, and I almost worked, Montana rather. I managed to work on the 24th, and actually, I'm sorry, the 23rd of June, KB7Q. And I look in the, and he was sending a 2TH grid of Delta November 42, which is split between Utah and Wyoming on the... close that off, yeah. Yeah, it was just split on the boundary between Utah and Wyoming. And I look him up on the call, and his home is Bozeman. So it was that close to Montana.
Ron, did we lose you, or the telephone call important? Looked like you timed it out. We lost you just about at Bozeman, Montana.
Okay, yeah, no, it was, I was saying, I looked him up in the FCC license lookup, and he was in, his home is in Bozeman. So he was on the road in DN-42, Wyoming and Idaho, and that was it. Sorry I missed it, but close. So one of these days Montana will show up. K2PI, K3FR.
K3FR, this is K2PI in the net. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for all the info, and congratulations on the clean sweep of 13 colonies in only 2 days. It's quite an accomplishment. You've got to chase them around the bands, and not all of them are active at the same time. I tried to do that this year. I don't have them yet, all of them, although I've got quite a few. But it's always fun to do, and it's kind of a nice little mini contest in the 4th of July weekend. So glad you enjoyed it. KN4SPL was in and out, so thanks for checking in. WB7RAV, I think it's Randy. Please go ahead with your comments for the net from K2PI.
This is WB7RAV in the net. Like Ron, I've been chasing 13 colonies. I got a clean sweep by Monday, 5th, maybe the 6th. Got all of them, but I haven't gotten Europeans out of the UK station. Got France, still trying to get through pileups to get to the English station and whatnot. So other than that, just cruising along, putzing around, getting yard work done, and a little bit of HF in the afternoon and evening. And other than that, everything's fine. This is WB7RAV, back to net.
There you go, WB7RAV, and then that's from K2PI. I'll let you know you've got a little bit of a 60 hertz hum audio on your audio. It's not overriding you completely, but it's about 50% of your deviation is that hum, so you might want to check your mic connection or whatever other connections you've got there. Okay, on the 13 colonies clean sweep as well. It's interesting to me, the English station is having pileups. It's so ironic, right? The English stations are helping us to celebrate our revolution, which is actually kind of rich. But I really enjoy the fact that we've now got some European hems participating in that. So really enjoyed that myself. Thanks very much for your comments. KO4BNZ, you were in and out. KN4MLX, Nisi, you were in and out. W8BT, Travis, good evening. Your comments for the net from K2PI.
Hey, good evening, Harv and all in the net. Harv, good to hear your voice running the net again. Thanks for doing it. And I have not played with any digital voice other than listening to public safety, P25. But anyway, haven't been operating much here recently. I I was up on the roof the other day fixing a TV antenna problem. My signals had been slowly degrading over time, and I ended up removing a splitter and a phasing line between the two antennas, and now I'm just running the singular antenna. And actually, I think my signals so far look better than they ever have, so maybe the whole phasing thing was not a good idea. But Saturday was down at Rich's, and I don't know if I have too much more to add, but yeah, I heard a conversation with him and Gil this morning, too, where we may end up having to be clean underneath the bearing and end up shimming it maybe a little bit and hopefully not have to replace the bearing, because that's going to be kind of a sketchy job. I've been thinking about ways to maybe do it safer, though, if we do have to do it. But Richard, you're still listening. I was thinking about stopping by this weekend, and I don't know if you want, I was thinking about remeasuring those three measurements you took with the calipers, but that's about all I've got. Just wanted to say thanks for running the net. I was just about ready to jump in and do it myself, but I had just gotten home from work and had not quite, unwound yet. But anyway, thanks for running the net, Harv. This is W8BT, back to net.
W8BT in the net from KTPI. My pleasure, Travis. Thank you. I appreciate that. And good hearing you. And okay on no digital. I have some comments at the end, just some of my experiences, maybe give people an opportunity to at least listen to it in one format. So see if it actually sparks interest. Okay, on the phasing harness and helping Rich. That's going to be a challenging thing to pull a bearing out from under an active tower. I think that's where I'd start hiring a crane, but you guys are inventive and brave. I wouldn't be quite that confident. I wouldn't drop the thing on my house, so be very careful. Other folks, KQ4AUA, Rachel, checked in and out. KN4QXD, in and out. KC1MKL, in and out. Thanks, all of you, for checking in. KJ7APV, Becca, your comments for the net from KQPI.
KQPI, KJ7APV. Hello, everybody on the net. I haven't been doing much with amateur radio. Again, I'm trying to spend the warm days, the sunny days, working on my house. So I've done very little on the radio. But it's good to hear you all, and keep on keeping on. Back to you, KJ7APV.
Becca, very good, and hope the housework is going well. It's a hot time of year to be working, too, so spell yourself and give yourself plenty of rest and hydration while you do it. I find myself getting pretty woozy outside sometimes, so I don't take a drink every now and then. And for XCH, also checked in, but was in and out. So it's now my opportunity to call for any further check-ins or anyone who wants to check in again to the Wednesday Ferris Service Net. Please call KTPI now. There was one station there, Quebec Charlie Romeo. You are mostly noise, unfortunately. Go ahead and try one more time, please.
Okay, hold on this position. Whiskey Delta 8, Quebec Charlie November.
Whiskey Delta 8, Quebec Charlie November. You're on the list. Any further stations? No further stations. WDAQCN, your comments for the net from KQPI.
Thanks for taking the net tonight. Not too much to add here. I've been chasing the 4th of July special event stations. Worked 11 of them since last night. Tracking it down as ESP reporter. Got into that kind of late. But heard a lot of good DX on 17 meters, but haven't been able to work them yet. We'll keep at it. That's about it. KTPI, WKQCN, back to that.
Steve, I think it's your name is Steve, so thanks for checking in, and on the 13 colony stations. Well, 11's a good number. You got two more to go before you get at least the clean sweep of all the colonies, so good luck with the rest of that. And you're perfectly copyable, although you're still quite light into the repeater. I understand that there's probably going to be no further check-in, so I'll just make a couple of quick comments before I close the net tonight. The digital radio that I've had some experience with is DMR, and DMR seems to be probably the most popular, along with D-Star, There is some P25 activity. There's also fusion activity, the ASU digital mode. But DMR and D-Star seem to be about the most popular ones. There's no real way to listen to D-Star other than to listen to a D-Star repeater or to get a DMR or DV dongle, which is something that Kevin talked about. I also have one of those, or a D-Star radio, of course. But D-Star has quite a bit of activity, although I think, frankly, there's only about two or three really active D-Star channels. On the other hand, DMR has hundreds of active channels, and it's quite intriguing. I mean, there's just a chat room or what you could call a virtual repeater for just about everybody. And if you're interested in listening, just to find out what it's all about, without having to transmit or do anything else, you can listen at https://hose, that's Hotel Oscar Sierra Echo, .BrandMeister Bravo Romeo Alpha November Delta Mike Echo India Sierra Tango Echo Romeo .network November Echo Tango Whiskey Oscar Romeo Kilo. It's all spelled out. Hose.BrandMeister.network. And that's their hose line application. Let me drop for a sec. If you go to BrandMeister's hose line, you can see all of the active DMR channels, the talk groups that are currently active on DMR at that time. And you can click on any one of them and listen to the audio. They'll all have sort of a little flag that'll tell you where they're located, as well as some information about what the channel's about and who's currently transmitting on it. I think it's a really interesting way to learn a little bit about DMR and see if the activity on DMR might be for you. The price of admission to DMR is not terribly high. Of course, it's a couple hundred dollars worth of expense if you want to buy a radio, but $99 to buy a DMR dongle and to use your own PC for it, and it's quite interesting. Also, I'll just say that two of my daughters, Nisi KN4MLX and Rachel KQ4AUA, checked in tonight, although they checked in and out. I know they're out there listening. Also, my other ham daughter, Michelle KQ4BCM, had her 14th birthday yesterday. So we were celebrating a little bit, a little ham birthday combined with three other hams in the room, and I got to get my wife licensed one of these days. So let me thank everybody for checking in. There being no further check-ins or comments, this concludes the Foxier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net for this evening. Thanks to everyone who participated, all the comments, and great to hear everybody out there is still engaged and doing plenty of different things in amateur radio. Everyone's welcome to continue the dialogue on the repeater after the conclusion of the net. This is K2PI returning the repeater to normal use. Good evening.
WABT, WABT, K1HTV.
K1HTV, WABT, go ahead.
Travis, just step away from the radio for a minute. Come over, I heard the spots program yell out Japan. Sure enough, there's a JA station coming through on 6 meters, a single decode, actually two decodes of JA1, JARK, neg 18, pretty weak, but just one Japan station made it through this evening. Saturday looks good if you want to come over. I've got the calipers if you need to, measure it. So if you want to come over, I'm here. If I play radio, I want to make some contacts, we could hopefully get a big band open and you could work lots of DX.
Okay. I was thinking about that and maybe picking up what's in your yard there too. But it was just kind of, and I just wanted to look at it again too, and check those measurements because I'm wondering if the binding is actually happening because of, we could almost feel that clunk at one point. And I'm wondering if that's where the measurement, where you had the 0.2 inch difference between the heights. I'm wondering if where it gets stuck is it's not trying to kind of basically climb back uphill 0.2 inch. So I just kind of, and I wanted to look at the bearing again with the load on it and maybe, peek in there with a good flashlight. Just to rule out maybe that, what Gil was saying this morning. I didn't chime in, but I heard it. And just to make sure that the bearing is not cracked, the outer race is not cracked somewhere, because hopefully it's not. Hopefully we can make what's there fixed or workable again. But anyway, or like you say, at least get it into a spot where it's not a problem. K1HTV, W8BT.
W8BT, K1HTV. Hey, Roger. Well, that's a thought. And we won't know until we actually look, see if there's something under it. And if there's nothing underneath the bearing, or as you mentioned, is it a cracked outer part of the bearing? That else has to be determined. But there's a reason for everything. You've got to try to figure out what it is. That height, well, it could be the fact that there is a difference, although it's maybe the way that all that stuff is welded together. I'm not sure if that... the tower seemed level. The lower part, I think, was slightly tilted, I think you said, by a small fraction. So, anyway, we'll see how it goes. If you want to come over Saturday and pick up the other towers sections, that'd be good. I assume you're going to put it all in the back of the truck. And there's other hardware that goes with it as well, over.
KJ7 APD.
KJ7 APD recognized, WAPD. Yeah, Rich, and I was also wondering, too, because, like I say, it made that noise, and like I say, we could rock that bearing, kind of, or you know, when it was in there, but I wanted to take a closer inspection now that I know what I'm looking at, you know, when I look through the gap there. But anyway, I'll probably end up, I looked up the dimensions of it, and I'll probably end up taking the toolbox out just so it's not hanging 2 feet out past the tailgate. But anyway, yeah, I'll, it might not be early Saturday morning, but it's possible some rain. I've seen rain on some forecasts, rain or no rain on some other forecasts. So I'll play it by ear on Saturday, but I may pull the toolbox out of the truck. Go ahead, Becca. KJ7 APV, this is WAPD.
KJ7 APV in the group. Just a question about that tower. In my naivety, I know, Rich, you've had a lot of experience probably with such things with all your decades at DOA. What would it entail to take that tower down as part of a thorough examination and diagnosis instead of trying to fix the bearing, which may or may not be the whole problem? Is it time-consuming, difficult, dangerous? What about laying the tower down?
Take a picture of what it looks like. The tower is about 18 inches on the side. It's a triangular tower. It's up 90 feet. It has double guide. It has guy rings on it. It has a number of antennas. There's a pipe on the very top going to bring the top antenna up to over 100 feet. Five-element Yagi, 25-foot boom, five elements, each element probably about 10 meters, 15 meters, about, I'm trying to think how many, 5 meters is about 315 feet. Anyway, 16 feet across, five of those elements. And below that, there's a three-element beam a little bit larger than that. Below that is a three-element 20-meter beam with 45-foot long elements on a 30-something-foot boom. There's a lot of metal. It takes a lot of time to put each one antenna up. So you'd have to remove all that, remove a five-element 20-meter beam, which is a 36-foot boom and 33-foot elements. As you can see, there's a tremendous amount of aluminum up there already strapped to the tower, and it's taken a long time to put it up. It would take as long probably to take it down. And then having to lower it, it was put up erector set size type, one section at a time with a gin pole. Raising the 110-foot section, putting it down, raising another, putting it down with the gin pole. So it's a lot of work. So it's easier just to raise the tower 4 to 6 inches and support the base so it doesn't wobble if we have to go more than 3 or 4 inches. So not easy thing to do, Becca. Go ahead.
Okay, three up far here, too.
So I get the picture. Thank you for that description. It sounds like it's been built up over a long period of time with lots of hardware up there for different types of antennas. Did you say it was an 18-inch triangular, and I expect that those antennas got up there by climbing?
Andy's been up there a number of times, WHZN also up there on the tower, and the tower's climbed with the appropriate safety gear, and there's a ground crew, usually two or three people on the ground. There's a minimum of three. There's various ropes that go up. There's tram lines that raise the tram, the antennas up to the top. It's a lot of work, Terry WHZN and Andy have done many towers and antenna installations, so they know how to do it. Brian, do you have something? K3FR, K1HTV.
Yeah, I just wondered if somebody's run a feeler gauge around that bearing too, just find out where the potential binding might be, even just rotating it without the tower on top of it. Maybe just if you can put a couple of pounds of pressure down on it from a plate or something. K1HTV, K3FR.
Yeah, there's no way of raising the tower by itself. Right now the tower is on three rods. At the base of the tower itself, the rotating part, there are three tabs that tab out. Each tab is a 3/4-inch hole. Below it, on the base section, at the very top of the base section, there are also these three large angle iron tabs with holes in them, and that's what you've secured the tower, the top to the bottom part, with nuts and with the bolts and nuts. And as we crank on one of the nuts, it'll raise the tower up inch by inch, half inch by inch, and quarter inch by quarter inch. And so there's no way of doing that. So there will, it'll you got some ideas on how to figure out what's going on. Over to Travis. Anything else, K1HTV?
K1HTV in the group, W8BT. Yeah, Ron, that's actually one of the things I was thinking about bringing with me to Rich. We've got some really long feeler gauges at work that I can probably slide in there with the tower sitting on the base as well. I was going to bring those over as well, Rich, and just check the gaps around there. Just to try and get as much information as possible before we make the next move. But I didn't mention that earlier. But, yeah, thanks for reminding me, Ron. Over to you, K3FR, W8BT.
Yeah, W8BT, I guess I'm not really in the rotation, though. I do have about an 8 or 10-inch feeler gauge I could probably drop off over at Rich's or with you sometime between now and Saturday. I've got other things scheduled for Saturday. My son's coming over, and we're going to hopefully go to that the Corvette meet over in Haymarket on Saturday. You know, photograph and walk around, maybe get some nice food there. That's about it for me. K1HTV, K3FR. Or should I turn it over to Beckett? I don't know.
Yeah, Beckett.
K27ATV. So, a couple questions. Do you keep a log of tower maintenance and additional work and additional antennas put up? And it seemed to me possibly that part of the problem could be you're overloaded. Have you checked the specs? How old is the tower? Maybe the specs say only so much weight should be on. Tower, it sounds like you've got a lot of hardware up there. Maybe the specs even are a little out of date because of the age of the tower. Just some thoughts came to me, just common sense stuff. And the other question was, I guess I asked it, the logbook. Keep a logbook. And what was the last work done on the tower before the binding started to happen? Over to you.
K1HTV. Well, the binding was noticed very early in the installation, about a year ago, and so it's been intermittently. It's been here in varying states. In the cold weather, it would bind to the southwest. I heated the bearing. Andy thought it was up at the two guy point. There's two guy rings, one concentric guy rings with bearings, with horizontal and vertical bearings. We thought the problem was up there, but when it bound to the southwest, when he was up there, he rotated the. He can move the upper and the lower one as he did the upper one at 70 feet, went down to the 35, 40-foot level, and he could move that even though the tower is rotating. So it's not in the bearing. I've got a diagram of everything on the tower. As far as maintenance, the only maintenance required at this point is to lubricate the rotator itself usually twice a year with a grease gun. Keep an eye on the tensions. The tensions are loose at this point because we thought the extra down tension was causing more of a problem. At least set it to rotate, but that's not it either. So we have to use the tunnelometer to get the pressures. And as far as the tower is very, very husky. It's Rhone 55. Google Rhone 55. The thing weighs, each section weighs, I think, 150 pounds. It's just a very monstrously large, heavy-duty tower. It's not a light one like most of the other ham towers, Rhone 25. Anyway, the JAs continue to come through on 6. I'm going to go back to 6 meters. I've not worked on them. I'm calling CQ. I called a couple of them, but it's interesting to see Japan this late on the 6 meters. So take care, guys. See you later. And I should be here. Check me out with me on the repeater, Travis, before you come down here. I'll give you a call. WAPT, K1HTV.
Okay, Rich. And, Becca, I think the Rhone 55 is 100 pounds a section. So there's 800 pounds worth of tower above the bearing, plus all the antennas and guy rings and such. But and, Rich, actually, she did bring up a good point there, too. I'm wondering, maybe take note of which direction, because since there is more weight on the little bit of the one side of the tower, I wonder if maybe that might be, if that bearing is rocking in there, maybe that could be contributing to it. But yeah, a few things I want to take a peek at on Saturday. But anyway, Becca, a lot of the logging of issues and stuff has been documented through emails and stuff too, so. But anyway, I'll go ahead and sign, and yeah, Rich, I'll check with you on Saturday before I come down. This is WABT, and I'll be clear.
Hey, WABT in the group, K1HTV. Right, we'll see you on the radio during the week. 73 to you, Becca. 73 to you, Ron. And got to get an outside antenna, Ron, if you know, working on this DX, or somehow figure out some sort of stealth antenna you can put out there. Makes a difference. Just getting it outside at 10 or 15 feet, you'd probably be able to work some of this European DX. 7-3, K1HTV.
Antennas need to be balanced, weight balanced more around the tower if that is possible. So I will be clear also, 73, 87 APV.
I think I doubled with some of that.